And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one, this show goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. It's right across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. That's just the radio. And then there's so many of y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and watching us live streaming the show every single day on places like X and YouTube and Facebook and Rumble. And, oh, by the way, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then a ton of y'all podcast the show and catch it after the fact. So all said and done, what I'm saying is we know all y'all are out there and we know where you are and you mean the world to us and we thank you. So I try to say this like two or three times every show. We thank you for making this worthwhile. I got to get a few text messages real quick, and I will do that. Mark from Red Bay says, when Colbert comes on, my wife and I either change the channel or turn the TV off and go to bed. Okay, that was yesterday, but thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bev from Madison says, it's an off-topic thing, so I will get back to that later on, but thank you very much. You can check, see what she's talking about, and maybe you can advise her. Bama Grant from Huntsville says, Democrats are stuck on stupid. That's a pretty quick summary, and you're right. Rat from Athens says, I remember the TV sign off with the jet fighter and and slip the silvery bonds, I believe it was. Yes, I do too. That was good times. By the way, you will be heartened to know that in the movie theaters on military installations, they still play the national anthem, which I think is cool. Wild Bill from Somerville. Wild Bill. Hadn't heard from him in a while. Wild Bill says, the commies are coming. Sounds like a new title for the movie, The Russians Are Coming. Okay, that works. Brian from Harvest says, the Democrats' argument with the Obama situation is presidential. How is treason an official act of the president? Nope, no good point. Dave from Capshaw again says, looks like many U.S. cities are going Muslim, like all the large cities in England. Well, there are some large enclaves, absolutely, of immigrant Muslims that are literally, some of them are wanting to put Sharia law into place. And then Paul from Athens, Alabama says, forgotten are the 70,000 Somalians that Obama airlifted to Minnesota in his time as president. This Minnesota political fiasco is the fruit. Yep, that's where we got Ilhan Omar, just saying.
Do you mind if I add one more thing to the, want to move on.
Pray tell, what do you have?
But I just wanted to add on to the Mom Donnie stuff of, you mentioned how we got another Minnesota coming up and there's going to be more and more. I will say, you know, there's a reason that they are popping up and there's a crisis. And like I said, I won't go on and on, but it's something I'm very passionate about. There's a crisis in the younger generations of, I mean, I think I saw the average age of a homeowner, first time home buyer is 38 years old. Like, the economy for the younger generation is just getting worse and worse. And that's where these Mom Donnies pop up, because socialism all of a sudden sounds appealing.
Oh yeah.
And
free stuff.
I wonder if, you know, the GOP right now is in control of the White House and both chambers of Congress. And I worry, and I'm not saying I know what the solutions are, but I just worry that we're not paying, as a party, we're not paying enough attention to that. And at least trying to offer up solutions to, you know, improve the situation, the housing crisis and such with young people. I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to afford a home. It's like, hopefully sometime soon. But I feel like most people feel like the American dream is not very obtainable with this system. And that's where radicalism, you know, comes up. So I think it's something to be aware of. And I hope we're paying enough attention and actually as a party making an effort to fix that problem. Then that's where socialism and radicalism goes nationwide.
And that, what you just described, is exactly why the Biden era, they were so committed to the idea of like paying off student loans. Mm-hmm. Because they were trying to give free stuff to a generation as opposed to giving them a means, they were giving them a bailout.
Yeah.
But then that creates a dependency. And so I totally agree. Home ownership is part of the property ownership. But then you got Mondani wanting to get rid of property ownership in general. So, you know, if you already can't buy a house, then why do you care if people are losing their private property rights? And if you're already not, you know, having the institutions of education provide you a true meaning of civics in the United States, then you don't care about things like constitutional rights. And you just watch those things go away and you just don't care.
Yeah. And Charlie Kirk did a long podcast this week with Tucker on exactly this and said that he'll talk to GOP senators and they're just like aloof, like, I don't know if there's a problem, and that's concerning. So I just hope we don't let it get to the point where Mom Donnie just starts nationwide stuff like Minnesota and therefore.
I think you're going to see more Mondanis. If he gets elected, I think you're going to see more Mondanis. Although I will say this, I think Mondani, you'll see a mass exodus of the middle class and the upper class out of New York City because they won't be able, they won't want to live there, and they'll be the ones with the means to leave. Mm-hmm. And as he begins to co-opt property rights and do things, you're going to see businesses shutting down. You see people moving out, relocating, and some of them will be right outside the borders just to because they still drive in for work, but they'll be right outside the borders. And it's amazing. All right, tell you what, I got to do something. I gotta run the gamut. I got about 25 minutes before we go to the top of the hour and move into the Grand Council. So I'd research the show sometimes, and I find stuff. I'm like, look at the wokeness. How much wokeness can there be? Where is the end of the wokeness? I don't know. And that means at some point I realize, holy cow, I've got a pile of it. I've got a buffet. I've got a veritable plethora, a vast cornucopia, a charcuterie, if you will, of wokeness. That means it's time for another round of adventures in woke world.
Adventures in woke world.
Ba-ba. Hey, you'll be happy to know, by the way, that they're not forgetting George Floyd. Oh, no, can't do that. First of all, Here, I got another part of my stack. Let me reach down here. George Floyd comes up twice in today's woke world. Oh, goodness. Phil, find the article. You had it in your hands, but I changed the order of my documents around. Here it is. You've got one professor out in Texas at the University of Houston named David McAnally who is asking for a renaming of the university to George Floyd University. I'm pretty sure the alumni are going to have something to say about that. University of Houston. I'm sorry, wasn't George Floyd from Minnesota? Is that where it was?
Minnesota.
Minneapolis? Yeah. So I'm pretty sure this is not going to fly. But he says, we would open the university up in such a way that it becomes a resource to the broader community. And I can tell you with great confidence in the Third Ward of Houston, that means that we will be pointed out that Floyd grew up in the Third Ward and went to school. Listen, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But the fact is, they can't let go. The George Floyd incident that occurred is still one of their harbinger moments. It's still one of their grandest moments of all time. They were able to co-opt like half of corporate America and take over whole cities and burn down city blocks without any chance of you know, any kind of repercussions. They even had any number of different places around the nation, like named for Black Lives Matter and all the things that happened in the wake of that. Good Lord, that summer of love. And now they want to name a university after it. Well, I'm saying that's going to fail, but I'm interested in the fact that it is even being talked about. How about this one? Adventures in Woke World. Here's a headline that when you read it, you have to read it twice because you're not sure. Queer San Francisco bookstore. Okay. First of all, there are queer San Francisco bookstores. You mean there's bookstores that's their focus? Can they stay in business? Is there that much business that you can be a queer bookstore and it's anyway?
In San Francisco.
Apparently. Queer San Francisco bookstore pulls Harry Potter series after J.K. Rowling launches with... Okay, so last I checked, Harry Potter is not a queer book, right? It's not designed for the whatever they consider the queer lifestyle to be.
Not really.
It's a kid's adventure story. It's a fantasy fiction thing. Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling dared to launch a women's legal fund. That's all it was. Why do they care? What? Sell books. Just go sell books. But woke world is always so wrapped up in agendas that they cannot forget, they cannot remember that they are really there to do something like, I don't know, in this case, sell books. It's like Starbucks. Just sell coffee. It's like Colin Kaepernick. Would you please just play football? At some point, you look at him and go, you have one job. In this case, your job is to sell books. But yes, the booksmith on Hate Street, there's a name, announced on June 10th that it was no longer carrying J.K. Rowling's books. I got to say, why is this even a story? But the quote is, here's a quote. As a group of queer booksellers, we also had our adolescence shaped by wizards and elves. Look at us. It's obvious. If you or someone you love wants to dive into the world of Harry Potter, we suggest by doing so. Oh God. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. This is almost pitiful. I'm moving on to the next
one. Almost pitiful?
It's okay. That was levels of pitiful.
Yeah.
That was layers. That was pounds of pitiful. How about this one? Did you see, by the way, this story dates back to a couple weeks ago. Did you, JP, did you see the Jaguar ad, the Jaguar car ad that was just, I think it was actually a Super Bowl ad.
It was a Super Bowl ad, yes.
It was most obnoxious, weird, out there, what did it have to do with cars ad. It had all these, you know, hermaphrodites, you can't tell if they're male or female, which was the intent, and they're all dressed like something out of the Hunger Games. And they're all just walking around with blank expressions and neutral, you know, and then bright colors. And I don't know. It had nothing to do with cars.
It was bizarre, to say the least,
yes. It was. New York Post reports, as of a couple of weeks ago, Jaguar sales in Europe have now plunged a shocking 97.5%. Following their botched rebrand that included a commercial featuring men in skirts to announce its upcoming pivot toward an all-electric fleet. But the cars have yet to arrive in dealerships. So it goes on to say the luxury British automaker registered just 49 vehicles in Europe in April. 49, compared with 1,900 in the same month last year. This is so Jaguar has now become the Bud Light of cars, is what it sounds like. Can they? Oh, it even says that. I just realized it says that down. So the uproar of woke ads was likened to Bud Light's bizarre 2023 partnership with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney, which led to a boycott of America's best-selling beer and damaged the brand severely. So you've got Jaguar, which has been known for performance and luxury for years. It's one of those, you know, top-line brands. They decided to come out and say, we're taking everything electric, and oh, by the way, we're super woke. How do you like us now? Men in skirts, it's all good. Who is in charge of this advertising? I don't know. But they just dropped 97.5% in sales. You can't make this stuff up. Good Lord.
They're probably making another ad right now, though, as they speak.
They probably are. Because, you know, they tend to go. Although I will say this. Bud Light figured it out.
They did, yes.
Bud Light had.
They made a big comeback.
They fired the person who did it, and they came back and said, "Yeah, we're done with that."
They got Shane Gillis and Post Malone in commercials now. You know,
yes, they do.
They're back with their audiences
and Peyton Manning.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
They're back. They're trying to be back now. They still not come all the way back. So here's one for you. New York Post. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. New York Post. Minneapolis. Why is it Minneapolis, man? I think Minneapolis is the new San Francisco.
The new Somalia.
Okay, yeah. The Minneapolis Healthcare Network, which includes the hospital where George Floyd was declared dead, okay, is mandating that thousands of employees sit through a woke training video that includes a flowchart of who's allowed to say the N-word. There's rules. There's rules about using the N-word. I did not know this. I thought this was like, I mean,
oh, yeah,
I've seen people like get away with it, and it's kind of generally known that like you can get away with it in certain venues, but I didn't know there were guys. There's PowerPoint slides, JP. Look, I got them right here. There's flow charts. Can you see this on the camera?
Yeah, it's pretty.
There's flow charts that tell you when you're allowed to say the N-word and when you're not. And so here, can I say the N-word? Well, first, which best describes you? Are you white? Are you a person of color but not black? Or are you black or mixed with black? Okay. If you are white or a person of color but not black, you cannot say the N-word. And then there's some caveats to that. Not even while singing along to a song. Not even if it ends in an A instead of an ER. What? And there's no excuses. And that's literally the flow chart. I'm looking at it. That's the flow. But if you fall on the other side, it says, if you are black or a mix of black, it's your choice whether you want to say it or not.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I don't think they've heard about the First Amendment. Now, I don't recommend the use of the word.
Exactly.
I am not advocating for the use of the N-word. But I look at this and go, okay, they just gave an entire presentation, multiple slides, and they literally told people, some of you are allowed to say certain things and some of you are not. And I don't think they understand that that's a complete violation of the First Amendment.
That is bizarre. I mean, but that is kind of common knowledge in my generation of that. That's the rules, apparently. So
they also, by the way, they have a whole slide on inclusive language. I want to make sure you understand, JP, as we sit here and work together every day, there are certain ways you can say things and certain ways you cannot. All right? Like, don't say that's so crazy. You're allowed to say that's ridiculous. Don't say we need to have a powwow. You can say we need to have a meeting. Don't say the peanut gallery always has something to say because people may have their opinions and that's, you know, peanut gallery. I don't know. Peanut allergies? I'm not sure what's happening there. Don't say he's a computer guru because guru could be interpreted as, I don't know, you're Hindu phobic. I don't know what that is.
Hindu phobic,
I guess. He's a computer expert. Listen, all this is real, man. These are slides that are being used in a presentation in Minneapolis. But the one that gives me the biggest kick is when you're allowed to say the N-word and when you're not.
Yeah, that didn't really need a presentation. That's kind of common knowledge.
All you got to do is watch the Comedy Central channel and you'll figure that out pretty quick. All right, what else have I got before I go to the break? Oh, are you going to let me go on like this?
Yeah.
Take me to
a
break.
I guess so. It's your show.
Daggum. All right, we'll go to a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Adventures in Woke World. Don't be using that N-word like that. You're the wrong color. Didn't you know that? And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Okay, so I got to tell you, I had one story here that I didn't get to. I got to touch on it because it may be one of the most disappointing stories I found. This is not what I expected in woke world. This is not what I expected to find in woke world. If I had to name a restaurant, JP, that you thought was conservative, what would it be? Can you imagine what kind of a restaurant?
Something like a Buffalo Wild Wings, or
you think they're conservative?
Yeah, you know, a sports bar place like that, steakhouse, something like that.
I would think that some place that serves like down home food, where like real people go, like blue collar food, would be like the kind of place where you'd find, you know, conservatism. And how about this? I've got a story from Fox Business Dateline yesterday. A pro-Trump law group is saying that Cracker Barrel is still using DEI programs in its hiring, violating state and federal law.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad at myself. I didn't think Cracker Barrel is the first option when I heard conservative. Yeah.
I mean, next thing they're going to tell me that Buc-ee's is liberal. I mean, that's this can't happen. But yes, conservative pro-Trump law group, America First Legal, filed complaints on Monday with the Tennessee Attorney General and the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, alleging that Cracker Barrel is maintaining discriminatory employment practices stemming from its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Cracker Barrel. Do they understand what Cracker Barrel? Cracker Barrel is like going to Granny's house, but it's a restaurant. Cracker Barrel is where you go to get some like fried okra and cornbread and, you know, the things that like real people eat.
Play checkers while waiting for your
food. Play checkers while you're waiting for your food, you know. Buy candy you don't need. Shop for clothes you don't want. And then next thing you know, you're walking out with bags full of stuff, and it's capitalism, and it's also down home. It's South America. I mean, Southern America. And yet they're saying that Cracker Barrel is maintaining DEI policies. That's a story on Fox Business. I've got it right here in my callous former paratrooper hands, but I'm just telling you, this one shocked me. I would have thought I'd heard Starbucks or something like that. Some left-wing founded in Portland kind of restaurant. Not Cracker Barrel, headquartered in Tennessee of all places. All right. Whew. Fix that. I still want fried okra. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Scott Buttram. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.